Dark came. At first there was a moon, but its glow was only an untrustworthy glimmer by the time it reached the ground. And then that too was gone. There was a path, he was sure of it, but it was easy to wander to one side or the other. The first two times this happened, he managed to avoid running into a tree, but not the third. He was thinking of Merlin and how likely it was there was no such person, and smacked chest first into the bowl of an ironwood. He held on to the silver disc, but the basket of food tumbled to the ground and spilled. Now I'll have to grope around on my hands and knees, and unless I stay here until morning, I'll still probably miss some of the... Would you like a light, traveler? A woman's voice asked. Tim would later tell himself he shouted in surprise, for don't we all have a tendency to massage our memories so they reflect our better selves? But the truth was a little balder. He screamed in terror, dropped the disc, bolted to his feet, and was on the verge of taking to his heels, and never mind the trees he might crash into, when the part of him dedicated to survival intervened. If he ran, he would likely never be able to find the food scattered at the edge of the path, or the disc which he had promised to protect and bring back undamaged. It was the disc that spoke. A ridiculous idea. Even a fairy the size of Armanita couldn't fit inside that thin plate of metal. But was it any more ridiculous than a boy on his own in the endless forest, searching for a mage who had to be long centuries dead? Who, even if alive, was likely thousands of wheels north of here in that part of the world where the snow never melted? He looked for the green glow and didn't see it. With his heart still hammering in his chest, Tim got down on his knees and felt around, touching a litter of leaf-wrapped pork popkins, discovering a small basket of berries, most spilled on the ground, discovering the hamper itself, but no silver disc. In despair, he cried, "Where in Nis are you?" "Here, traveler," the woman's voice said, perfectly composed, coming from his left. Still on his hands and knees, he turned in that direction. "Where?" "Here, traveler." "Keep talking, will you do?" The voice was obliging. "Here, traveler. Here, traveler. Here, traveler." He reached toward the voice. His hand closed on the precious artifact. When he turned it over in his hand, he saw the green light. He cradled it to his chest, sweating. He thought he had never been so terrified, not even when he realized he was standing on the head of a dragon, nor so relieved. "Here, traveler. Here, traveler. Here, I've got you," Tim said, feeling simultaneously foolish and not foolish at all. "You can, be quiet now." Silence from the silver disc. Tim sat still for perhaps 5 minutes, listening to the night noises of the forest, not so threatening as those in the swamp, at least so far, and getting himself under control. Then he said, "Yes, Sai, I'd like a light." The disc commenced the same low whining noise it had made when it brought forth the stick, and suddenly a white light, so brilliant it made Tim temporarily blind, shone out. The trees leaped into being all around him, and some creature that had crept close without making a sound leaped back with a startled "yark" sound. Tim's eyes were still too dazzled for him to get a good look, but he had an impression of a smooth-furred body and, perhaps, a squiggle of tail. A second stick had emerged from the plate. At the top, a small, hooded bulge was producing that furious glare. It was like burning phosphorus, but unlike phosphorus, it did not burn out. Tim had no idea how sticks and lights could hide in a metal plate so thin and didn't care. One thing he did care about. "How long will it last, my lady?" "Your question is non-specific, traveler. Rephrase." "How long will the light last?" "Battery power is 88%. Projected life is 70 years, plus or minus 2. 70 years, Tim thought. That should be enough. He began picking up and repacking his gunner.